A medical expert recently said that listening to the Ron Van Dam Show can improve your IQ. Okay, her area of expertise is toe fungus, and she said it in a bar, drunk, to Ron. But still, a medical expert said so. You and your toe fungus are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, so what?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. Sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. Even though you're listening to the show right now, I wouldn't walk around bragging about it to other people. I'm just saying. Saying, oh man, oh gosh. All right, that's enough theme music. Let's face it, that's enough theme music. Thank you. Theme music by Jason Shaw, who does the incidental music for the program incidentally. Thank you, Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up. Please hold your applause. John Shanahan does the opening announcements, many of the comedy bits on the program. He's a comedy genius, in my mind, probably yours too. John Shanahan, why don't you just Google him? I think he's wanted to be Googled for a long time now. We all want to be Googled. What do you want in life, Ron? Do you want happiness? Do you want to make a difference? No, I just want to be Googled. That's all. I just want to be Googled. And somehow that becomes a verb. I don't know how that happened. And then there is the lovely and talented Nicole Reed, who is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Is she actually British? Not necessarily. She books many of the national interviews that we do on this program, and there's just a ton of them, a pant load of them. Apparently, I'm not capable of doing it myself, so she does it. That or I can't be bothered. I don't know which. They're kind of tied together somehow. Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here. What is the show about? Well, don't ask me questions that you can't answer. The show takes a look at life, the things that we all experience, but we tend not to talk about it. And when we do, we find how absurd and ridiculous most of the stuff that we do actually is. Not you and me per se, but what other people do is pretty much unacceptable in society. It still doesn't explain what this show is about, to be honest with you, because there's no explanation whatsoever. If you're not familiar with me, this is what I look like. What are you looking around for a picture? That's not the way this works. I've been doing this for over 30 years, using my voice to entertain, inform, and annoy. I started doing radio back in 1990 on a dare, and I've been doing it ever since, and it's crazy. And that's my story. I don't know what else to tell you. I think it's time now to just bring it on to the next level and go out on a second date. I went to the movies yesterday. There's a movie theater near me that has $5 Tuesdays. Used to be Taco Tuesday. Now it's $5 Tuesdays. You can watch any movie you want as long as it's playing at the theater. For $5, how can you go wrong? For $5, I'll sit in a dark room with the lights off and get some sleep, which is pretty much what I do when I go to the movies. Every movie seems interesting until it begins. Have you ever noticed when you see the previews for a movie, they're showing you the best parts. They've already expended all the good stuff in the preview to get you in there. They don't care if you like the movie or not, as long as you went to the movie and paid the money. So they show you all the best parts of the film in about a minute and a half. And then when you see the film, you realize, hey, I didn't have to see this film. I already saw the best parts. It's a scam and a sham and a flam and a bam. I don't know. Anyway, so I went to the movies, and I don't even remember what I saw. That's how insignificant the whole experience was. Anyway, what I did notice is that in these rom-coms, you know what a rom-com is? We're making up words now, aren't we? We're combining two words and we're making them one. It's like a designer dog. That's like cockapoo. Excuse me? What does that mean? Your poo cocks, your cock poos? I don't understand. It's a cocker spaniel and a poodle, and they got mixed up. It's a mix, you see. And then we're coming up with a new breed, and it's a cockapoo. Okay, fine. This is getting a little weird now. Anyway, so I'm watching. So a rom-com is a romantic comedy, but we can't put two words together. We have to make one out of them because we make things cute. That's what we do. So I'm watching a rom-com, and I've noticed every single one of them. Here's what happens in every single rom-com movie, and it's annoying me. It's starting to annoy me. It actually always has annoyed me, but I'm reminded how annoying it is when I go to the movies. A guy asks a girl out, and finally, after asking her out like 2,000 times, she says sure, and they go out on a date, and then they have dinner, and the next scene they're in bed together making passionate love. I'm not familiar with that in my life. Maybe once in my life I had dinner with a young lady and then we were in bed like that night, but before dessert, I mean, it's just, who does that? It makes us all feel sexually like undesirable when everybody in the movies has sex at the drop of, oh, you dropped your hat. Okay, let's have sex. It's just, that's what sex at the drop of a hat means. It's too much. It doesn't work like that. Maybe if you're a nymphomaniac and a sex fiend and you get together and you become a cockapoo, maybe that works. But basically, people don't go out on a date, have dinner, and then before you can blink your eyes, you're in bed with them. It doesn't. People don't go to bed that easily, especially if they're strangers. But in movies, sure, why not? let's move it along. Let's make everybody feel inadequate because they don't do this, you see. Well, I understand. I had dinner with her last night. She didn't sleep with me. I understand. You're watching too many movies. It's not supposed to be like that. I don't know why it is in movies. It just is. I think movies are supposed to be escape. Things are supposed to happen in movies that don't happen in real life, which is pretty much everything. That's, you know, car chases. Maybe there are a few, I don't know, but, continually, I don't think there are that many car chases. I really don't know. I haven't seen any ever. I think maybe once I saw a couple of cars whiz by me and one might've been a cop and I don't know. Anyway, movies are just, I don't like, I get so bored with movies. I expect too much. Hey, I paid money for this. That's the problem. Watching movies for free, who gives a shit? I don't care if it sucks. I can get up and go to the bathroom and come back 3 hours later. I don't care. I didn't pay for it. There's no loss. There's no loss. The only thing that happened here is that I realized how bad this movie actually is. There's no loss. But when you pay for a movie, you go to the movies, or you rent one at home, even worse. At least when you go to the movies, it's an experience. When you're renting a movie at home, it's like, why did I do that? I'm still at home and the movie sucks. Nothing happened here. Movie rentals, oh my God. Streaming, oh my God, it's even worse. Streaming's even worse because sometimes it doesn't stream properly. Hey, I paid all this money. It's not my fault. Your Wi-Fi sucks. I don't blame me. And I don't understand the rating system. I don't understand that. When I was growing up, there were like movie critics, and they come on TV and they review a film and see little clips of it, and you know pretty much if you liked it or not. It was like watching the previews with the person telling you what they liked about it and what they didn't. But you went to the movie anyway if it looked interesting to you. And the reviewer would say, I highly recommend it. I give it 5 stars out of 5. I give it 3 stars out of 5. Nice and simple. Simple. That's the way I like things. Nice and simple. Get to the point and get the hell out of here. But now, it's rated by Rotten Tomatoes. What the hell is that? It's a rating system. By whom? 67%, and this other thing, and I don't understand what the other thing is, that gave it like 72%. Out of 100, I know it's 100% if it's great, but it's so impersonal. Rotten Tomatoes, this is a film critique thing? I mean, seriously? Smashing Pumpkins, well, that's actually a musical group. Is there a musical group called Rotten Tomatoes? Probably somewhere. Anyway, I'm not into movies anymore. Movies are too long. Now they're like 2.5 hours long. I saw Jurassic Park, The Insurrection. Well, I think I'm confusing two things. Jurassic Park something, the return of Thor. I don't know what it was. There were dinosaurs in it, and the dinosaur gets loose as usual. I didn't expect that. And somehow they're also breeding these locusts, because I had to put something else in the movie, otherwise it's like really boring. And you go there and you sit there and you see these animals being leashed upon society and causing havoc with some kind of evil guy in a strange compound. And then you got to stop him. You got to stop him. It's always a man. You got to stop him, and you also have to stop the creatures that he created and the dinosaurs that run amok. You know, that's a big problem in our society. 2.5 hours long. I believe it was 2 hours and 45 minutes or 2 hours and 40 minutes of dinosaurs running around. Too long. Especially in a sequel. I mean, we know the deal. We know the formula. We know the deal here. It's not our first rodeo. Jurassic Park, my ass. I'm sick of them. If you come out with another Jurassic Park, people just will say, I've seen it. Come on, stop it. How many variations on crap can you come up with? Anyway, movies are just, I don't know. It's just an excuse to eat popcorn. When you go to the movies, you just sit there and you shove popcorn into your face. When I go to the movies, they turn the lights down, the movie starts, and for the next 2 hours, I'm just listening to other people eat. That's really all I'm doing. I'm listening to all this crinkling and candy crinkling and popcorn eating. I'm just listening to other people eat. People who I don't even know, I'm listening to them eat. That's the movie experience to me. And they overcharge for everything in the movie theater. I mean, everything. Popcorn is $72. And that's per kernel. And then and then you want a drink? You can't afford it. Second mortgage. That's the only way. Come on. Hot dog, $7.50. What kind of dog does this come from? I mean, it's incredible what they charge. But they have to make their money somehow. Well, I thought they showed movies and charged for that. Nah, that's not enough. Not enough. We're going to overcharge you five times the amount that you could get this item anywhere else. And people will line up and pay for it. Oh, my God. What the hell's going on in the movies? Yeah, I'm not into this stuff. I'm just not into this stuff anymore. I can't. I do get bored very easily. I don't have ADD. I don't have AD. I don't. But I just can't. Things are too long. Everything's too long. When people come over to your house to visit, it's way too long. As I've said many times on the show, there's got to be some way to get people out of your house when you've had enough. Or when you go to somebody else's house and you've had enough, instead of coming up with excuses like, oh, I have to get up early in the morning, and we know that you don't, and if you're having a good time, you won't care how early you have to get up. So stop that excuse. I have a dog at home, and I got to get home to the dog. Oh, yeah, right. Who are we talking about here? If you're having a good time, you're in no rush. You know that. It means you're not having a good time, and this has got to stop. If only we could be honest with each other without hurting other people's feelings. And that's why I've invented the That's Enough buzzer. What happens is, and I don't have one with me because the prototype is still being worked on in the factory. It's just a buzzer, and it just makes an annoying sound. Something, I'll see if I can mimic it. It sounds like, it's not even a joyous buzzer. It's a buzzer that just kind of sounds like it's on its last legs of the battery, because it's expressing just how boring this thing is. So the buzzer sounds like, If you carry it around and you put it in your pockets, it's very easy to transport. Runs on batteries, very, very simple. Batteries last forever because just going, that's all it's doing. And when you're at somebody's house or somebody comes over to your house, or you're at a bar or whatever, when you've had enough, you just hit the little buzzer and you say, time's up, and you leave. I think it's fantastic. Also, if someone's in your place and you want them to leave, you're a little tired, you have to get up early in the morning or something like that, basically because they're really boring and you can't stand them anymore. You just reach into your pocket, hit the little knob on the buzzer. Oh, sorry, time's up. You got to get the hell out of here. No excuses, no reasons, nothing like that. No further explanations. The buzzer went off. You know what that means. We're done. I think that would be fantastic. Let's say that you have a job. Let's make believe you have a job and they're having a sales meeting. Oh, you're a salesperson. I'm so sorry. I mean, sales meeting, and the sales manager is demeaning you because no matter how well you do, it's not good enough. So you're in a sales meeting and the sales manager is talking about, and it's got graphs and charts and all that kind of stuff. And it's just really, really boring. You've run out of donuts and coffee. It's just really, you reach into your pocket. I know you're just working here. You're just a salesperson. And you hit the buzzer. And the sales manager says, oh, no, someone hit the buzzer. Bye-bye. Wouldn't it be so simple? No, we have to make believe we care about the other person. We do really care about the other person's feelings, but not enough to really care that much. It depends. If it's your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever your pleasure may be, then you're nice not because necessarily you want to be nice to them. You're nice because the ramifications of not being nice are just horrific. So you can't be nasty to them. You're going to pay the price later. Big time. So you're nice for that reason. Strangers, we're nice to them, I guess, because we don't want to get beat up or something. I don't know. Why are we so nice to each other? Why can't we just be honest and just clear the air that way. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. If someone said to me, Ron, you know, you're being boring today, I'd say, you're probably right. Yeah, I wouldn't care. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a guest coming up momentarily. I hope you don't hit the buzzer while the guest is here, because that would be rude. Oh, my God, that would be so rude. Well, Ron, it's not rude. I have to get up early tomorrow morning. Oh, but it's like 9 o'clock in the morning. What time do you go to bed? 10:30 a.m. I guess that's not a good excuse. How about I have a leaky bladder? Okay, that works. Yeah, if you can't afford the buzzer thing, do the leaky bladder thing. That works really well. You can get out of jury duty with that one. We need you. Thank you for your service, jury duty. This is very important. Very important. If there's any reason why you can't serve on this jury, please approach the bench. Mr. Van Damme, what is your problem? I have a leaky bladder. Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, do the leaky bladder. But I prefer, once I get the prototype for the buzzer done, but that requires education, you know, like everybody has to understand what that buzzer means when they hear it. There's a big education. It could take years and years and years before our society adjusts to that, very similar to computers. You know, it took a long time for people to adjust to computers and give up their human aspects. So, yeah, use the leaky bladder. Some people, by the way, some people actually have leaky bladders. I'm not trying to demean that condition. It can be horrible. But for societal purposes, it works really well. Okay, guest coming up, commercial now. Thank you so much. This has been fun. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Well, this is interesting. I just went to get my guest to join me here at the microphone, and I found a little note in the guest room, and it says, sorry, I had to leave suddenly. We need to reschedule. I have a leaky bladder. Wow, they used the excuse on me. What if the person really had a leaky bladder? And that happened here in the studio. That would be messy. Okay. No problem. Well, anyway. Hey, did you get a flu shot yet? Don't answer me. I can't hear you. This is radio. It's a one-way thing. Don't even bother. Don't even bother answering me. You know whether you got a flu shot or not. I got one. Because I don't want the flu. I'd probably survive the flu, probably, but I don't want it. So for free, I can go just about anywhere and get a flu shot, and that's that. Let me tell you something. I've been getting flu shots since I was a child, and no consequence. I didn't grow a third breast. I mean, it's fine. Have I ever had the flu? You know, I don't think so. Maybe I did once, but I don't think so. It actually works. Of course, the flu is they don't know what strain it is. They take a good guess. Well, I think this is going to make people sick. We're not sure, but I don't know. But get a flu shot, man. They have it at pharmacies. I remember a couple of years ago, well, it wasn't a couple of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, they were giving flu shots at the supermarket in aisle 7 near the frozen foods. That was convenient. For a while, I had to get a flu shot in the doctor's office. That sucked because the flu shot was free, but the office visit wasn't. So you got it during one of their many follow-up appointments. Yeah. I'm sorry. We need a follow-up appointment. To follow what up? I don't know. That's what it says here on the sheet. We have you back in here for the follow-up doctor appointment so we can ask you more questions, like how many drinks do you have per week? That's always a lie. If I told the doctor how many drinks I have a week, they'd probably say, I'm sorry, we can't treat you anymore. Have you ever done drugs? No. The question's getting very personal, by the way. Do you floss? What are you, a dentist? I'm just asking. How many times a week do you have sex? How is that a medical question? I don't know. It's on the sheet. Are you asking me these questions because you personally want to know, or they're really on the sheet? Well, maybe a combination of the two. I'm just curious. Just trying to get an idea what other people do. That's all. I don't know. And by the way, theatrically, I did a man's voice. My doctor is actually a female. Ooh, whoa. That was a stretch, theatrically. I went to drama school just so I can mimic the voice of my doctor. She's Indian, by the way, not American. Not American Indian. And she told me for the past 5 years that I should stop eating red meat. And I said to her, you should stop telling me not to eat red meat. How about that as a compromise? But to be honest with you, I've kind of like, you know, I've really, just in case you're interested, I don't eat slabs of meat anymore. I don't eat steaks. I'll have little cubes of beef in a stir fry. But an actual slab of beef, no more, no more, no, no. Slab of pork chop, no, no more, no. I'll have pork that's cut up a little bit with vegetables and some rice and a nice tangy sauce and a salad, but a slab of meat, no, I don't do that anymore. Thank you for asking. My doctor asks me a lot of personal questions. Do you wear white after Labor Day? No, I don't. I mean, maybe I will. No, I mean, do you wear white pants after Labor Day? How is this a medical question? I don't know. I'm curious. No, I don't wear white pants ever. Why would anybody wear white pants ever? As soon as you sit down and you get up, you're going to have dirt on your ass from the bench or a dirty chair, or maybe you wiped your hands on your thighs. No one should wear white pants ever. And white makes you look fatter. Black is the slimming color. Why would you ever wear white pants? And my doctor said, I don't know. Anyway, that's it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. The buzzer went off. Somebody's buzzer went off. What if the buzzer went off and you had a leaky bladder? Oh, my God. That's it. Tomorrow, I wish you peace.